So Elana has resorted to that strange technology known as the internet to actually connect with the line. That's too bad about our disconnection. I wanted to tell you all about how I found my dream beach. It was like stepping into my 1970s fantasy of Bikini Disco Beach. It is real. Okay, big hugs. You see, Bikini Disco Beach. That's where Elana is. Anyway, no Elana Rain for the rest of the program, but I'm sure she will return in the fullness of time. Now, though, which button should we be pressing, Gabriella?
Fill in the Innes button.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator, and voiceover artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there. Director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil.
Yay! See, Phil, the show would not be complete without the Linus Meister, who indeed said in the off-air chat he's probably not going to be able to hang up his phone quite as often as Elana did. It's all right. Jamie Anderson hasn't even managed to connect with us. How are you, Phil Linus?
You know, I can't wait for you to get on, and when I say you, I don't mean you, I mean all of the United Kingdom to get on to what we call daylight savings time, I think. Here, isn't that what we call it? I don't know. But anyway, the point is that I like when there's the 8-hour difference because it makes it a lot easier for me to stay in my pajamas the whole show, as opposed to, like, it's pushing noon here. Mm. Like, even for me, even for a top-notch and, dare I say, glamorous filmmaker such as myself, it really is a plea for help if I'm still in my pajamas at noon.
Don't worry. We move forward. We spring forward in a few days' time, all day well.
So. Excellent. And I'm sorry, but I do hear spring allergies in your usual dulcet tone.
Oh, is that young Lily Holliman in the background there, or is it Fuzz Aldrin with a sort of dose of cat coughing as well?
It's possibly both. It certainly, there has been an illness that has been going around, and Fuzz Aldrin is fed up with all of it. Mm. Alex, the good news about Elana not being able to continue her
what, the report? 1970s fantasy of Bikini Disco Beach?
Exactly that. You leapt into the fray perfectly because it's so much more enjoyable, I think, to hear you say Bikini Disco Beach than it would have been to hear Elana say it.
Well, but last week, Phil, as indeed the completists, the Midweek Drive would actually say, and indeed James and Gabriella would confirm this, there was a specific request put in by Phil Linus to actually interview the team. Do you remember, Gabriella?
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was the line through. We don't forget our requests from our special LA correspondents, whether they're in their PJs or not. And so the floor is now yours, Phil Linus, to throw whatever questions you wish to James Kaysen or indeed Gabriella Peralta. Whilst I just remind the listener that if they do wish to actually enter the competition for Rudra at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, they can still do that via email, of course, competition@sirenonline.co.uk. All they need to actually answer is, who actually wrote The History Boys? Which author? Who actually wrote The History Boys? Send in that together with contact details to competition@sirenonline.co.uk, and they could, as long as they include their contact details, and can actually get up to Lincoln tomorrow night, actually see Rudra, a reverberating, powerful force in the shape of Shiva transitioning between peace, disturbance, love and lament, performed by theatre company Manasamitra, resurrecting Indian mythology through an exciting fusion of contemporary music and dance, free of charge.
Sounds great.
Right, I'm closing my microphone down now. Phil, the floor is yours.
I guess my first question would be for Gabriella, my new Facebook friend. I know that you're studying journalism. And I'm curious as to when you have graduated, what field of journalism do you intend to pursue?
I really like television and radio journalism because it's my two majors really this year. And if I go, when I go back home, I'm going to try and get a job somewhere in television and radio. And yeah, that's what I really like. I don't know. I came into the degree really liking print. And I thought, that's where I'm going to go. And I ended up doing it, not liking it at all, and coming into television and radio, which is so strange.
And what are there particular fields, particular topics that you are interested in pursuing as a journalist? Are there, I guess, areas of specialization? Like, would it be politics? Would it be human interest? What field?
I'm not too sure about that part. I'm not really into politics and stuff, but I think human interest. I think
I don't know. This morning, in fact, a few hours ago, no, in fact, an hour ago, you did actually say, "Oh, I think there's a budget on today." That was very good.
Oh yeah, yeah. I kind of guessed that, but
I'm confused, and maybe your journalistic, your investigative instincts will be able to solve this for me there in the studio. But I'm curious as to how, with this microphone off, I could actually hear Alex just now.
Yeah, all right, Phil. For God's sake, just felt
you couldn't resist.
Exactly. Go.
One of the reasons I'm curious, of course, Gabriella, and one of the reasons I realized that I had better send you, finally, a friend request is it's quite possible you might become a leading entertainment journalist, and then I might, need to call upon you for favors.
I really do like entertainment news. I watch it every single morning, which is probably a hint that I should do it. But I think I'll probably go back to Gibraltar, where entertainment news isn't really that big. Obviously, because it's a small place, only 3 miles long, how much entertainment could we possibly have?
Oh, I don't know.
We don't really have celebrities too much. Like, yes, you have the local ones, but not the, obviously, national ones hanging about.
I'm sure if you ask nicely, Lily Holloman might turn up at Gibraltar one day with her entourage.
What about me? I mean,
Alex.
I could be to Gibraltar as David Hasselhoff is to
Berlin.
Austria.
Yep.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Which is not to say that I could be an over the hill alcoholic. That's not what I mean.
there was quiet for that whilst we actually just started contacting our lawyers just to actually sort of think about where we're actually going on that.
Oh, come on! If you can't hassle the Hoff, who can you hassle?
This is true.
So let me throw it over to James, who is hiding in the corner of the studio.
Yeah, cowering.
Right now. James, what year in school are you?
I'm in the History Humanities School.
And how much longer do you have?
This is my final year.
This is it?
Yeah, this is
so,
it.
So, and what happens after this?
Sort of prolong the inevitable, do a master's.
Prolong the inevitable, which really is kind of the if when we get around to studying contemporary culture, I think it could be called prolonging the inevitable.
Indeed.
Quite frankly, that's a great title. What was the passion that made you choose history, and where do you think that will lead you?
Well, growing up in Texas, I would always visit my grandparents in England because my mother is, of course, English. But I'd always become fascinated with the big stone foundations that just dotted the landscape, and I always thought, why were they there, for whom was it made? And I think being both English and American to sort of just create this passion, because living in Texas, there wasn't really much to stare at. But,
the wide open spaces of the West, and, I include Texas in the West, with California, where I grew up, because, that whole Western mythology informed, the cultures in which we grew up, and there's so much distance between places, and yet seemingly no deep roots of history the way there are in the UK, or the way there are in the Northeast of the United States, and so it is absolutely fascinating to come from a part of the world where there's so much distance between people often, let alone between structure and history, to then go to a place where you can't walk a few feet down the road without bumping into something that is 1,000 years old.
Finding a skeleton in a car park.
Have to just interject momentarily because Ilana Rain has actually sent another message with the quite heartfelt plea, I believe. Please tell Phil he is invited to meet me at Bikini Beach this weekend. He really must at this point.
I have not, since she has relocated as a resident of Los Angeles. As she has moved here, I have not seen her.
Why do you think the earth was moving this weekend, Phil? Clearly, you know.
And I've decided I'm not going to see her until she stops being referred to on your show as a New York director and starts being referred to as a Los Angeles director.
I see. It's a heart-bitten scenario there, but we can go with that. We'll get it sorted.
Or I won't see her until I've finished re-editing this short film that Lily and Dean and Alana and I worked on together that I think could make a crackerjack part of a science fiction anthology feature film in which I've been working on.
See, it just gets better and better, really. Who needs Andacon? Oh, of course we do, and say so we will endeavour to connect with Jamie next week. Did you know next week, Phil, not that we're actually using a time machine to jump forward too much, but your warm-up act will be none other than Richard Fitzwilliams? Yeah, because Richard's off to Athens, and he's put in a specific request to do the midweek drive on a Wednesday.
Oh.
Wow.
So no more Thursday morning for him?
No. Just a week's break. We had a choice of either squeezing him into a Wednesday slot, or basically saying we'd take a 2-week break. I decided to take the option of putting him in before Phil Leonis. But of course,
I'm sorry.
No, I mean then fitting in Ilana Rain and Arthur Weingarten in the Shame Show, and hopefully also Jamie Anderson as well. It's just so packed, unbelievable,
stacked
quite literally.
Well, so that's a 5-hour show.
Rammed, as they say.
Siren is going to have to give you at least 2 to 3 more hours of airtime for that one. But I promise you this, regardless of what opinion Richard Fitzwilliams so eloquently expresses on next week's show, since I will get the chance to hear it in its entirety, I will give an entire counterpoint opinion when I appear. Even if I agree with everything that he's saying, which is so often the case, I'll give you an entire counterpoint just for fun.
There you go. Ooh, you can't say any better than that, really. It's like WWF wrestling and so on. SmackDown.
I understand in keeping, you're trying to encourage PE and physical, health in the listener.
You don't think cage fighting is an option then for the midweek drive?
But I wouldn't. I hesitate in a culture that makes everything way too competitive. I hesitate and resist the idea of characterizing the art of a thoughtful discourse to a cage match. I don't think that's what we want to be doing. Yeah. How we want to describe it.
It's that kind of American world political view that actually sort of makes the annexation of the Crimea so much more difficult to understand. Really, it is.
This whole idea of, it seems odd to me that we would need to encourage participation in sports and athletics and physical education, because, of course, sport is so popular as a spectator path, and it's so popular you would think going out and playing it would be something that we don't need to advocate, but just something that would happen. But I feel like so much of sport is about just competition and about winning and losing, and has moved so far afield from serving as a metaphor for teaching all of us all that is valuable and necessary from the concepts of teamwork, from the concepts of mind, body, and spirit integration, that it's sad that we have gotten to the point that we need to encourage and advocate physical education and participation in athletics.
Mens sana in corpore sanus, healthy mind, healthy body. That's the official line. But anyway.
Wow. I want to do a lightning round with you sometime where I just throw out the topic. And you hit me with the slogan.
Slogans, the labels and arguments, logically, labels, it's interconnected in every sense of the word. I put it down to watching season one of Hunter, which, as I said to Cameron Tilbury, if you haven't ever encountered Hunter, works for me. James, I'm surprised with your fondness for masculinity in the 1980s, which we'll be focusing on next week, of course, that you haven't come across the joys of Hunter with Stephanie Kramer as Dee Dee McCall, the feisty assistant. Many ways reminiscent of Lily Holliman, I would have said.
Should I have?
Well, didn't it star American football
Fred?
Great
Fred Dreyer, exactly, yes. You say the classic line, works for me. I was shocked, actually, yesterday, Phil, to find that James, for some bizarre reason, didn't actually find Jason Momoa's incarnation of Conan the Barbarian probably one of the best pieces of cinematic gold he's ever actually encountered. I think it's fair to say you were not a Jason Momoa fan, were you?
Oh, garbage. Bring back Arnie.
Yeah.
That barely even was released here in the States.
Well, you know, it just goes to show that although Stargate Atlantis might take you somewhere along the way to life and happiness, ultimately, you know, if you can't cut the mustard as Conan the Barbarian. I'm saying this, of course, Gabriella. Have you ever encountered Robert E. Howard's creation of Conan the Barbarian? Savage and unspeakable. A thief,
no,
a reaver. From...
Well, apparently it's not too good, so maybe I shouldn't watch it.
Well, I mean, obviously you'd like the Robert E. Howard creation.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, why, James?
Just prime examples of sort of pure fantasy genre, I think.
Pure fantasy genre. Yeah. I'm sorry, Phil, you've still got a few moments to actually interview either Gabriella or indeed James, so make the most of them. Enjoy.
So James, then the question becomes, what do you do with this interest in history after you've graduated?
Well, I think with the majority of students I know doing it, absolutely nothing related to the topic, from looks of it.
Splendid answer. It's not the degree, it's what you do with the degree. Slogan for that one.
I hope to maybe do a doctorate afterwards and perhaps, I don't know, write some papers, maybe, if I'm fit enough.
Become a wonderful academic.
Perhaps.
It's a strange and bizarre world.
Have people mention me in their essays.
I'm sure they already do.
Yeah, for all you know, they do. Yeah, it's entirely possible. And I guess Ed Wellman's not in studio any longer.
Well, you know, he kind of came in, claimed that there were no more headphones, had a brief sort of what was almost bordering on a flirtatious conversation with Alana Rain. She put the phone down, he left, we've never seen him again. Unbelievable. But we are off to Uncle Henry's tomorrow, so that's quite exciting. Yeah, I'm sorry, Gabriella. I know you'd like to come, but it's a wonderful part of Lincolnshire.
What is Uncle Henry's? It sounds a bit like you're going to someone's house.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, yes. I have no idea. It's something Ed's very excited
about.
Have
no idea.
But we at last year's Lincolnshire show, we did actually interview one of the founders of Uncle Henry's, and it's a wonderful farmhouse experience. So it'll be an outside broadcast location report that we're there. It's the Universe Manifest.
Alex, before I leave this topic, then I'm going to throw a challenge to James, because as you know, Alex, I'm now in pre-production on part two of The Truth Is Out There, even as I'm in post-production on The Lady Killers. We're going to start shooting in earnest The Truth Is Out There 2 beginning in May, possibly a little bit earlier here in Los Angeles, but certainly in May, and we'll spend the following 8 months traveling around the world shooting it, and it focuses this time on ancient mysteries. So my challenge, the gauntlet I am throwing down for James to pick up, is the next time I make my way to Lincoln, he has to have come up with some aspect of local ancient mystery that fascinates him for me to investigate as part of the film.
I will bring the pain. WWE references all around.
I mean, Gabriella could do some research as well, I'm sure, on that basis.
Lincoln has a lot of history. I'm sure the cathedral has some things.
Well, first of all, if Alex is driving me, good luck on me finding the cathedral. Second, because I know it's at the top of the hill, but boy, anyway, I'll let that go. I've played that card too often, Alex. But what I want Gabriella to do, of course, is to document my documentary so that, again, I can soon achieve cult figure status in Gibraltar.
I'll do it.
Yeah, you see, you could actually be the on-location reporter documenting the whole system, doing the behind the scenes, all of that wonderful stuff there.
I'm there.
Splendid. Okay, Mike Dooley has become a father. Congratulations, Mike Dooley. We've seen the Facebook updates. Well done indeed. A young baby girl born a little bit prematurely, but she's here. She has arrived. We do. Congratulations.
Well done
to Mike Dooley. What's the universe say?
To set the record straight, however cool you think it might be to have an out-of-body experience floating over your house, flying through space, traversing the past, present, and future, let me tell you, it'll never be as cool as being in the one you now have. Walking barefoot in the grass, floating on the sun-drenched pool, or dancing alone in the dark. You so fly the universe. Trust me, from here, getting into body is considered the most sacred of all sacreds.
And that pretty much says it all, really. We're simply sort of travelling through space and time as little journey folk in all sorts of other wonderful ways. I was trying to find out where
I cannot wait. I cannot wait, Alex, till Mike's daughter is old enough to be able to say to him, Dad, it's really not cool when you say things like, you so fly. Because you know what's going to happen. You know kids get embarrassed by things their parents say.
As he actually just said, thinking is life's only variable. Everything else was settled a long, long time ago. Well, there you go. Anyway, moving on the show tomorrow morning, we have the return of Gabriella Peralta. We also have Miriam Page joining us. Miriam, who's a graduate of media production. Miriam will be making her debut on the programme tomorrow. We may well have the return of Rachel Warren. Katie Grimerson, if she's recovered from her caramel experience.
Quite an experience.
Well, in every sense of the word, really.
Yes.
You know, yourself, Gabriella, myself, we kind of went away thinking,
What just happened?
Yeah. For TDF Statue, of course, and the excitement of Katie Griffithson, I think they're still sort of recovering in every sense of the word from that sort of point of view. So brilliant stuff there. And moving on from that, Sarah Baldemore will be with us. Minty Steed will be talking about the recent Cheltenham Festival. Richard Fitzwilliams will be back for a Thursday slot. Melanie Crouch will be talking about the MapleStar Music and Media Choice this week. And I think we already said we like it.
Love it, in fact.
William Sitwell should be back as well. And Louis Savage. A certain Louis Savvy will actually be talking about his exciting events that are coming up, which just go from Sci-Fi Weekender on the one hand, which is coming up on the 27th or 30th of March in Wales, right the way through to, of course, Worldcon, which is going to see the return of Phil Dearness to the World Science Fiction Convention, which happens in August. So great news on that one. And Penny's also congratulated Mike Dooley as well, so... Mr. Zia, we're spreading the word on that particular basis.
Yeah.
Hurrah. Okay, do you want some music? Should we just Phil? Have we got questions for Phil? Should we dot Phil for Phil? See where we go. Gabriella, over to you.
Oh, questions.
I know.
I was prepared for this. I thought it was the opposite way around this week.
You're quite right, actually. But I kind of feel he was kind of... He's exhausted his initial line of inquiry. He might like to have comments about the rest of the programme, really. He might have...
Director's notes? Indeed, I do.
Yes, well then go for it.
Well, I just thought that the one piece, and we'll go back towards the beginning of the program when we were talking about the state of mental health care 100 years ago, and you know, the rather terrifying dark ages of mental health care, as it were. Although, as much as there have been strides, obviously, in the understanding of mental health, what is astonishing to me is how we still seem to be in the dark ages in terms of making mental health care available to people and removing the stigma from people seeking help in the first place. I mean, in this country, every time we have a major debate about anything, you know, especially, for example, gun violence or homelessness or any such topic, it always seems to de-evolve that debate into, you know, rival arguments. And what never gets discussed is the role that healthcare could play in solving all these problems, at least to a large degree. And so, as I've said on this show, when discussing, you know, gun violence and gun proliferation in America, what I would love to see at the very least is that we make mental health care as available and as accessible as we make guns, for example.
Exactly. And I'm just so excited. I've shown the photograph whilst we were talking about it because I felt we needed to counterbalance that sort of violence discussion with the Mike Dooley line. So amazed. 5 weeks early but healthy. I was in San Diego on the phone during the final 30 minutes of labor. Almost had to quit call for ride to airport. But last round of mama's pushing and wow, shaken by the miracle, £5, 5 ounces, 19 inches.
Very cute baby. Adorable. Well,
universe has arrived. Fantastic. So great news as far as that's concerned. What a wonderful way to actually wrap up the show. Last two questions for Phil Leonis, please. I was going to say Ben for a moment. There's Ben in there. James.
Well, Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting experience with us today?
I've had a wonderful time, as always.
Well, I'm glad to hear. And will you be joining us next week?
Indeed I will, with my counterpoint position on everything that Richard Fitzwilliams has to say.
She's splendid in every sense of the word. Okay, thanks. As far as the role of honour is concerned, too, Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Gail Ems, Michelle Monroe, Jamie Anderson, Ilana Rain, Ed Wellman. We thank Jamie Anderson because his answer phone was there, just in case you're wondering. Yeah. And, of course, Phil Leonis and you for actually sharing some time with us. You know, Penny and the team and Brian and which is fantastic. Mm. It's Echo and the Bunny Man with their live version of All You Need Is Love. Thank you, Gabriella. Thank you, James Kaysen.
Thank you,
Phil Leonis. Can we all say bye-bye?
Have a good one.
Bye.